Welcome to Launch, where we explore the world of invention and entrepreneurship. I'm Jim DeBetta. I am without my co-host, Ron Reardon, who is vacationing, and but of course here with Lee Cantor, our producer.
You're slumming with me.
Hey, you know, there were worse things, I think.
I don't know. We even lost Jay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's running for the hills
They're
this morning.
They're abandoning us.
Well, I know Ron's down in, he's down in South America.
Yes, he is. He likes it there.
Not your average vacation.
No, he really does it up.
I think he's doing the Machu Picchu. Is that my saying
he's
that
in
right?
In Peru?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's he's down there. I know he's with his wife on. She's doing some business stuff, but hey, if you can tag along on that trip.
Nice trip.
Not a bad deal. Well, Lee, since it's just you and me, but we do have a great guest, a friend of mine. Her name is Eve Galan. Eve, she's calling in. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. How's the weather? You keep sending rain over to us down in Texas. As I look at the map,
you know what? We're happy to keep on sending it to you.
Yeah, really thank you.
Yeah, whenever your weather is, we get it 2 days later. That's how it works.
So the big question is it sunny today in Texas?
It is. It's a little bit cloudy, but it's pretty good.
Good. All right. So maybe by Saturday, Lee, we'll get some.
It'll be all good.
We'll get some sunshine. All right, Eve. Look, I've known you for a few years now. A little bit about your background that I know. I mean, I know you were an attorney, a trial attorney, and kind of made a big leap from what you were doing in the corporate world to getting involved in manufacturing, distribution. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you're doing today, and then we'll explore this whole world that you're involved in. So tell everybody what you do and what your company does.
Yeah, it's my past life was definitely a big leap to what I'm doing now. I like to say that I'm a recovering attorney, and I don't really practice law that much right now. But in about 2005, I got into the patent licensing business. And a year later, we launched a market research company. And then a year after that, we merged with a manufacturing and distribution company. So it's kind of like I was walking down the street, I tripped, I fell, and I landed into Walmart. It's pretty exciting. Our manufacturing division has been manufacturing in China for about 30 years now. We got started when we were doing stretch denim. We were providing stretch denim back in the 60s and 70s to pretty much every denim manufacturer we're doing stretch denim for, Jordache and Calvin Klein.
Oh, my God. Remember those brands? Like, I think they're all
around.
Are they
still around?
Yeah, I think Sergio Valente. Remember all those all those pants?
Real super tight.
The stretch. I remember that stuff. Is that still around, the stretch denim?
You know what? Thing is, I still get hell for that. I am blamed for so many fashion, mishaps and, laws that should have been written on stretch denim.
Yeah, but that's part of American culture. I mean, who doesn't remember? And anyone that says that they did not have stretch denim pants is lying. I can tell you right now. And so I think, if you're going to be remembered for anything, it's definitely good to be remembered for something that I think everybody recognizes. So not a bad deal, Eve. Not a bad deal at all.
Not bad. Actually, there's a lot of stretch denim still being used right now. Probably, Jim, you have denim with a little bit of stretch in it still.
I'm wearing pants. I'm wearing jeans now. I don't know. Maybe there's a little.
You're a trendy guy, Jim. I'm almost positive that you do.
I'm bringing it back. That's it. Hear it right today. We're bringing back stretch denim. In full force. So, Eve, okay, you obviously a big leap from what you're doing to what you're doing now. And what I love is that obviously you're, much more in my world than you're not in my world, because obviously in my past life too, I manufactured and distributed products to all the major retailers. So for people that are listening that want to understand what they should expect in the manufacturing and distribution business, how does that work, the 101 stuff for people that want to get into developing their own products and then going through this process?
Well, first thing they need to understand is that the process is long. It's going to be longer than they expect, and it's probably going to cost more than they expect. With manufacturing, what we specialize in is volume manufacturing. If you're looking at manufacturing a small order just for tests, or just for boutiques around the U.S., you might be better suited to just go ahead and manufacture in the U.S. If and when you're ready to do volume, large-scale manufacturing, the kind of manufacturing that you'll need for a place like Walmart or Target or some of the grocery stores, then it's going to be a lot less painful process if you give us very precise product specifications. From that, we can give you a production sample. We'll have our engineers and our factories in China make you a sample of the product, and if it meets your specifications, that is the product by which we judge every single product coming out of a production line against. So we want to make sure that every product coming out is exactly the same as the sample that you wanted, and so also you can guarantee quality to both of your customers and also your retailers.
Now, if I contract with you, is this something that I'm going to have to go to China, or do you go to China, or you just have relationships there and they just mail things back and forth?
Well, it could be a bit of both. We do have our relationships there. We do have people on the ground in China working with us. A lot of our clients do want to take a tour of the factory, and most manufacturing companies won't allow that, but we do. We're happy to take our clients on a factory tour. They can see the factory producing the product. They can see the product as it's on the production line. We think that that's very, very important for our clients to be assured on quality. The other thing that we do insist on is a third-party quality control specialist. We use a particular independent party called ProQC. Of course, you know, our clients can specify any other person that they want. It's fine with us. That's the whole point of it being independent.
Yeah, I think it is important. People forget that that when products are made, factories will make things in any quantity that you like, but someone's got to check those, you know, those batches, especially the first run of product, to make sure that when you order 50,000 of something, that if something goes wrong in the beginning, you may have 50,000 defective
mistakes,
products.
Right. Now, what's the minimum? You mentioned earlier that if it's large quantity, like how do you define large quantity?
We manufacture in containers. We don't manufacture, 1,000 units if it's a small product. So let me give you some reference here. If you have a pack of cigarettes, there are about 420,000 packs of cigarettes in one container. So if your product's about the size of a pack of cigarettes, that's the minimum quantity at which we're going to be interested in manufacturing. It's also going to be around the quantity that you don't want to come to us about before that.
Okay, so let's take a step back. I'm an inventor. I'm a consumer product startup person, and I've got a product, and I think, and I've got some interest from some of the mass merchants. So now, obviously, there's interest from you, you know, depending on the product. But what does the factory need from me very specifically in order to get very accurate quotes? Because this comes up a lot from people, so they need to know a checklist of what things do you need so that you can get that quote.
The most specific specifications possible is the best. If you have a product that you want us to just copy and make exactly that, that's ideal. Also, CAD drawings are very important. If it's a chemical composition, obviously everything that must go into that. You also have to think about bottling and packaging and those matters. Also, if you do have a product and you already have retail interest in it, we can finance the production of that order through purchase order financing.
Okay, we'll talk about that more, because that's a big thing, because a lot of people, you know, have products that could be very successful. They are getting interest, and their biggest fear, and mine when I work with them, is that they don't have the money to pay for that initial factory run. So talk about that a bit.
Right. So, and that's a very, very common problem, even with established businesses. They don't necessarily want to put up all of the capital in the first run just based on these purchase orders. With our relationships with the Bank of China, what we're able to offer is purchase order financing. What that means is that if you have a purchase order from a credit-worthy retailer, and that's a retailer that the Bank of China likes, Walmart, for instance, is okay with the Bank of China, then we can finance the production of that order, so long as that order is for more than just one container, or at least one container. I think we'll go ahead and accept that one. But the process is that the purchase order goes and it's held by the Bank of China, so you no longer own the purchase order. we collect the payment from the retailer, and then we pay you whatever's left over after the loan is paid off.
Okay, well, for the average person, they would, some people know the term factoring, because there is factoring. There's different ways to finance. There's financing your receivables, and then there's excuse me, then there's the financing of the actual manufacturing. So if I come to you even, I say, listen, I've got a purchase order from Walmart. It's a $100,000 purchase order, but I know it's going to cost me, based on all the quotes I got from the factory, $40,000 to make the order. The factory wants their money up front, and I don't have that money. You're telling me that as long as that is Walmart is creditworthy, and if they're not, I don't know who is,
right,
that you will be able to, or through the Bank of China, in essence, pay for that production, and then which will allow me to make that sale. And if that's true, what's in it for you or the bank? In other words, without getting into specifics, I know each situation is different.
Well, first, it is a loan, so the bank does collect its interest rate. And second, we are handling manufacturing, and so we get our little piece of it too there. But for you, you get bridge financing. This allows you to ramp up and do volume without taking on enormous risk and not having to, sell your house or sell your children.
Okay. Well, yeah. And well, I don't know.
Well, is this typically done just on the first run, because then the person has the money then to fund the future runs?
They can do it as many times as they like. The other thing is that they don't need to give us equity interest in the product. They keep the IP in their product. They keep the product in their company. It is their own. We're just helping them with the financing.
Well, that's important, yeah, because, that's a lot of people. It's like Shark Tank, the show, right?
Right.
People giving up, 30, 50, 60% of their company. Maybe their problem sometimes is that they just need money. And,
right, and that lack of money cost them a great deal.
Yeah. We talk about this show a lot lately because it is what's hot in this world of inventing. And I think one of the sharks, actually, I was watching iTivo, all the shows, and,
right,
and I was watching a couple of weeks ago's episode, and they had a person that came in, basically was just looking for money. And then the whole back and forth was about, well, do you need money or do you need experts in this area, like
right,
manufacturing and marketing and distribution? And if so, then you should be looking at this deal from a completely different angle. So it's interesting how those deals kind of play out and behind the scenes stuff.
Right. Well, that's what you're paying for, the expertise, hopefully, not just money, because money, like Eve saying, you can find ways around money.
Right. And like Eve, like you said, on the manufacturing side, you just want to get stuff made. Your interest is not in the, per se for that in this instance. For the marketing and the daily business operations of this company. This company needs money. So I need money. I got to get this Walmart order out. I need that 40 grand. Your bank is going to finance that. And then now what happens when, how Walmart is? I mean, it's a net 90 world these days. So after that order ships, I got to wait three
right,
months and sometimes longer for my money. What do I do? And do you have a solution for handling that part of the equation?
Well, that's also where the purchase order financing comes in. You don't get paid on that order until the bank is paid and until we get paid. Remember the process where the bank takes ownership of that purchase order. And Walmart is one of those retailers that they're pretty darn good about paying if you have a good relationship with them. Walmart isn't an enormous retailer, and they do like certain distributors more than others. And also, they don't do that much in the way of merchandising. So a lot of times I hear people tell me that they won't do Walmart. They'll never do Walmart because I've heard that Walmart won't treat them well, which is not really true. What happens with Walmart is that they have so many products, they don't focus so much on merchandising. And we've been working with a group that has merchandisers, I think it's 82 merchandisers, that physically go to every Walmart location to make sure that our products are on the store shelf and that they're well stocked. And that's key. That's key to Walmart, and I think that's key to a lot of other retailers as well. And, the funny thing about Shark Tank and Edison Nation and those shows, it's that I wonder the quality of products that they get, since they're asking for so much on the equity side. We offer our manufacturing and our distribution services the way that we do because we like great products. We want the products that are wonderful and that are backed by great people and that who understand that it is going to make quite a bit of money. We're looking for the quality products.
Now, how do you help at all with consultation? Like, or, you know, the person that comes to you, they have something that's already proven because now they have a big enough order to make it worth your while to do this. But do you help at that point to make things better for them, or is everything they're giving you something kind of completed and you're just facilitating it?
No, we don't offer consultations, but yes, almost every single time. We have to come back to them and tell them that the product is great, but we'll be able to actually sell it, and the retailers will love it if they make this change. So, for instance, there was a keychain that we were working on. It was a great product, but the keychain element didn't quite work. If they could just take the pendant and make it into a pin for a hat or for a backpack, it was to, you know, scale the UV rate and see how much UV exposure you were getting, then we would be able to sell the product a lot more. And so on that side, yes, there's a little bit of consulting, but we don't do the product development per se. We send those types of clients over to other people who handle that, like Jim and some others.
Right. So basically, somebody comes to you, and of course, you know, it's in everybody's best interest that the product looks good and
right and sells. Everybody wants it to work.
Right. So you'll say, you know what? We're not doing the work, but here's what we think you need to do, and then you let them do it.
Right, but even at a glance, you can tell if something needs to be changed. I mean, we're like a person who that's their product. You know, they're in love with it. They have their own, you know, emotional connection, but you can do it based on your expertise.
Oh, honey, if that were true, I would be so much richer.
Yeah.
No, it's sometimes I can and sometimes I can't. Nobody really knows what product is going to succeed. Nobody saw the Pet Rock coming. Nobody saw Snuggie coming, but it did. There have been great products that I've seen that I was sure was going to be very, very successful, and they weren't. And I've seen products that I thought were really, really dumb, and they made millions of dollars. So, yes, I do have a gut instinct, and yes, my gut instinct is better than most, but no, I don't know everything.
But ultimately, the marketplace decides.
Exactly. Exactly.
And great marketing. I mean, let's face it. Marketing and packaging, over and over we talk about that. It is so critical. People don't buy what's in the box often. They buy the box itself.
Right.
So, you know, that...
And
that,
the box has to grab them, too.
Yeah, so well, that's it. That's what, you know, like I said, when people are strolling down the aisles of these Walmarts, and especially in retailers like that where they don't spend a lot of money on making the store so beautiful. Those
right, like how many products are in a Walmart?
Oh, there's just thousands and thousands.
Like tens of thousands, right?
I wonder, I don't even know. I mean, I used to sell Walmart quite a bit, and I used to have those numbers handy more. But this probably... I would say there's got to be tens of thousands of SKUs of individual
right.
items in there, Eve, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I would say hundreds of thousands.
Really? You think so? Wow. No, yeah, it could be. I mean, these super Walmarts.
So imagine you're walking down an aisle and your product's just one. You know, how do you get pulled off the shelf if the person's not looking specifically for that?
That's it. So that's why that package becomes so critical. All right, so Eve, so here's what we know so far. We know that if somebody comes to you with a purchase order from a financially sound retailer, you've got the factories that you know are sound. That's a recipe for success, but on the financial side, for the person who needs the money, correct?
Yeah.
So they need that purchase order in order to get it done.
Yeah, they need that, right, because without the PO, I mean, if there's a bankrupt retailer and you bring Eve
right.
a purchase order, I can assure you, Eve and
gonna,
the Bank of China are not going to want to have much interest to do with that. But, you know, that's a great outlet, Eve, because so many inventors are fearful of actually – I have people that say to me, Jim, I'm not ready to sell Walmarts and Targets because I'm not funded. They have no clue that your type of service even exists.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
and we also do some of retail placement and distribution. So if they have a product that they've had success with on smaller scale, some small chains and some boutique shops, we have our connections and we can see about getting them that purchase order from the Walmart. We can also get them that purchase order from Kroger's and Albertsons and CVS and Walgreens and Neiman Marcus and a lot of other retailers.
Now, can you talk a little bit about that? Because that would be helpful information for our listeners. Now, What kind of data do you need in order to take that data in order to get it into a big, you know, to get their product into a bigger stage? Like, how many retailers do they have to be in, and what kind of results should they have in order to warrant it to move up the ladder a little bit?
Well, technically speaking, they don't really need to be in any retailer, but our retailers tend to not like to test an unknown product. Also, they won't pay as well for an unknown product, for a unknown product as they would for a known product. The information that we need is we need the rock bottom wholesale price. A lot of times now, especially in these times, it's going to be based on price. Second thing that we need is we need to have no more than a 2 to 6 week lead time for quality, quantity, volume production. So if they have a product but it's going to take them 6 months to be able to manufacture a lot of volume, then they're just too early for us to go to retailers with. We also are going to need the location of their warehouse. We're going to need the and also their monthly capacity, how many units they can manufacture in a month. Finally, it needs to be a good-looking product. They need to have the packaging in order. They need to have the branding in order. They need to have all of those marketing services in order so that the retailer knows that they're not going to be responsible to market the product and that there is going to be an outside source pulling in the customers and pushing the product out.
Now, if somebody who has a product and say they have a big web presence, maybe they have, you know, lots of Facebook friends and Twitter followers, does that help them get these kind of deals done?
It will probably help them sell in a boutique, a local boutique store, but no, not so much on retailers.
Yeah, the retailers, Lee, they tend to not, especially today, don't want to take risks. In other words, when I used to approach retailers when I started, nobody wants to be the first one.
Right.
They want to see that you've got some momentum. And I had somebody...
But it's like a catch-22 because, like, you need to be out there to get momentum. So how do you create momentum without having distribution?
It's hard. It's like Eve said. You know, it's what we call being retail ready. You've got to have all the goods. You've got to have a great-looking package, a really good product priced really well so it can actually be sold. You've got to have great manufacturing. All those things have to be in place. And even then, I used to have the same thing. I'd go to these mass merchants and they say, well, who are you selling? Well, nobody really yet. Well, can you give me a shot? No, we don't want to take the chance. Well, how am I going to get to be known unless you put me in there? And what they'll tell you is that they are not going to make the market for you. You have to create demand for the product.
How do you create demand?
Well, today, like it's what we're talking about here, you can sell locally. You could sell to small local chains. You could sell to boutiques. And sometimes big retailers aren't impressed that you can sell, you know, Jane and Joe's shop down the street. But, you know, again, it's about a combination of everything. It's not terribly difficult to sell small chains or sell the .comers on the internet. Like, I mean, you can go to Walmart.com, which is a different buying group than Walmart, and it is easier to get on their websites than it is in their stores. You could have great momentum on your own website. I have people I've worked with that have done well into the six figures selling products from their own website. That's potentially.
But does that help you get into
store? It depends. I mean, it can, but often enough, I think what I've seen over the years is that if you have a great product and all those ingredients there, the buyer is the right buyer and everything clicks. That's how I got in. I mean, we didn't have any sales and we convinced them that
it's the relationships with the buyers that are
that's
the
huge.
Bottom line.
There's no question that becomes a big thing. And knowing how they do business. And Eve, I think you know that too. You and I have lately we've discussed some products and things to work on together. And we know how much goes into deciding if it's something we even want to present to these big retailers. So, and the client, the inventor, they have to be, you know, kind of reasonable and well-rounded about how long it's going to take and what they have to do to make changes. So that's not easy.
And it's, especially with the retail market, you know this too, Jim, we talked about this a lot of times, it's like a family. You have to know the buyers and you have to know them on a personal level. And you have to, it's a friendly, familial relationship that you have with them. And so, no, we don't want to push a product to them that we don't believe in. It just doesn't work. Also, we don't like to push a product to them that we're not so sure about. But having at least some retail sales helps. The other thing that helps is PR, just public relations.
Yeah.
I think that every person who is trying to sell a product should be on a service. There are a couple of services like it. One that I like is called PR Leads. And what they do is they'll send you press inquiries, and you can request press inquiries on your product line. So, for instance, if you have a baby care product, for instance, you can ask them to send you press inquiries, national press inquiries on baby care products. Sometimes they're going to hide the name of the media, but you will get media inquiries from the Wall Street Journal and, you know, Good Housekeeping and Oprah Magazine on great products for the baby care line or, great ideas to take care of your baby.
Is this PR Leads?
Right, PRleads.com.
PRLeads.com. I mean, we all know Haro, H-A-R-O. That's
right. PR Leads, that's, you pay for that service.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. Well, you know, nothing's free, ultimately.
Except Haro.
Except Haro, right. Hey, Eva, we have a few minutes left, and I know how important sustainability is, and I know that that's a subject that you
what,
like to talk about.
What does that mean?
Well, that's, yeah, well, that's, you know, I think I know what it means, and... But, you know, let's Eve define what, you know, in our world, what sustainability is and why it's important.
Yeah, sustainability is something that's kind of creating shockwaves through our industry right now. July 16th of this year, Walmart announced its sustainability index. It had actually been using something like it for its in-house products for quite a while. Essentially, what it wants is all of its suppliers to tell Walmart what the carbon footprint of its products are. And it's already required its largest U.S., top-tier U.S. suppliers to provide this information to Walmart. It's information like what is the total amount of waste produced by the factory in producing Walmart products. These are huge questions that take a lot of time to answer. And these U.S. suppliers have been working on answering those questions very, very hard. But what's happening is that by some sort of scoring system, and Walmart's not entirely sure what that's going to look like, some kind of scoring system, we're going to have a much bigger and better market for products that are sustainable, meaning that they use energy efficiently.
Okay, so you know we're talking about environmentally friendly products.
No, we're not talking about environmentally friendly. We're not talking about tree hugging. We're talking about efficiency. Sustainability is it's looking at the production process from the whole system view. So while it may be cheaper for me, for instance, to source my porcelain from a source in Malaysia, and I'm just making this up, if I look at the entire system from sourcing that product to manufacturing it to shipping it to packaging it to distributing it to all of the retailers, what I'll end up finding out is that while it may be cheaper for me to buy that source from Malaysia right now, it's actually going to be more expensive because I'm distributing the product in the U.S. So through this process, we're also going to see a lot more U.S.-based manufacturing.
All right, so it's...
And lately, even Houston itself has seen a lot of companies relocate to Houston to do all of their manufacturing.
Okay, so, but, you know, in addition to efficiency, okay, so, you know, doing things in better, faster, quicker, and with, but that doesn't that sustainability, I mean, from what I've seen, always has to tie in with some sort of, you know, there's always an environmental touch in there, because if I'm trying to do things more efficiently and I'm trying to be more green, which we know is such a big word now again these days, you know, I know Walmart and other retailers want to see more responsible products and more responsible processes to get products out there. So wouldn't you say that they kind of, in a way, go hand in hand, Eve?
And they really do. The way that I like to think about it is that sustainable systems tend to be more efficient. They also tend to be lower priced. Sustainable systems also, because they're more efficient, tend to be better for the environment.
Okay, that's definitely a good, quick...
So, if for instance... instead of having one central factory, if it instead makes more sense to have several different factories, because you're going to reduce your shipping time, you're going to reduce your shipping carbon footprint, the amount of gas that you have to use for the trucks, and also the mistakes that can happen and the breakage that can happen anytime you have to ship product, that's going to be a more sustainable system.
So sustainability.
A little bit more green too.
Yeah, I was gonna say sustainability equals, you know, efficiency, I guess, in this model.
Right, but I think it's smart to get beyond the, you know, the eco-friendly portion of it. It's overall business efficiency.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly. It is a smart business decision, and that's why you see so many retailers and also so many product companies embracing it. We have a little bit more information on sustainability on our website, and that's worldinnova.com. And there's a portion there on sustainability. It also includes a link to Walmart's Sustainability Index and a cute little video they have called The Life of Sour Cream. And in that video, they show the process of comparing an unsustainable sour cream tin to a sustainable sour cream tin.
Okay, so that's a great way for people to actually see what we're talking about. So, Eve, the website, again, just spell it out so everybody gets it and can visit it.
Okay, it's World Innova. That's WORLD. Innova, like innovation for short. That's INNOVA.com.
All right. Well, this is great because, you know, again, Eve, a lot of people on the surface feel like they understand the process of manufacturing and distribution, but also now, like you said, these new potential requirements by major retailers to ensure that their vendors, us, the people that are bringing products to them, are being responsible in more ways than just, you know, having a nice product, which, you know,
right.
and they're a leader, you know, like Walmart or not. So many people have their things about Walmart, but at the end of the day, everybody is there. All the big brands are there, and they are the largest. I think they are the largest company in the world. I think from a retail,
for sure.
Revenue perspective. I mean, a sales revenue perspective. But so if they start a trend, there's a good shot that others are going
to
start.
They're going to have to because it's going to force the people that want to be in Walmart to change the way they do business. So the other people will just go in line.
Absolutely, and Walmart didn't become the world's largest retailer by announcing little policies and not executing them, or announcing policies that don't make business sense. They know exactly what they're doing. Right now, we're all struggling and trying to figure out what that means and what it'll look like in, you know, 5 years. This is just the start of Walmart Sustainability Index, but it's going to require changes both on the design of products and definitely on the packaging and the sourcing and the decisions on manufacturing and warehouses.
Yep, change is a-coming.
Right, but Eve, overall, you think this is a good program, right?
I do. I think that it's going to lower costs of products, first. Second, it's going to create better products. And third, and this is the most intriguing, but I really think it's going to help retailers, private labels, compete against the big brands. I think that now Walmart's detergent is going to be able to compete with Procter & Gamble's Tide, for instance. And I think that means a good thing for all of the independent inventors out there and all of the small product companies out there.
I see, yeah. There's going to be brand battles going on here.
That's it. There's a change of brewing.
That's it. You know, and it's all good. Well, Eve, listen, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and to have you on here today. And this is great info for people. So everybody, you got to visit Eve's website. It's worldinnova.com. And again, Eve Galan down in Texas. Eve, thanks so much for coming on here today. It's been a lot of fun having you on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Launch with Jim DeBetta, Ron Reardon out today, and my producer here, Lee Cantor. Lee?
Yes, another great show.
Have a great
that
day,
was
man.
Like education.
It was. I feel like I got to like not do anything for a half hour
and
thing.
Gotta...
All right, everyone. Thanks.